talking, cause you know we got some problems. So tune on in the way we talk and how to solve them. We may laugh, we may learn, we might be your games, Miss and P.
Hi, Riley.
Hello. How are you guys?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Can you hear us?
Yes. Sometimes I'm like too loud on the microphone. So sometimes it.
That's a good thing. All good. Yeah. So thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. We've been following you for so long and we love everything that you post. It's so important. And for all the female athletes, I wish everyone would follow you listening. I think all of our followers could learn so much from you. And it's such a great resource that I think that we didn't have growing up and we wish we did, because nutrition plays such an important part in being a female athlete. So we'd love to just dive right in. And we know you were a Division I soccer player. So it's great to hear from someone who was in those shoes at one point and know like yourself what an impact that could have. And we were just reading up on you, and I loved how you said like you want other female athletes to not make the same mistakes you did, which I think is exactly why we do what we do, because we don't want them to make the same mistakes we did. We want everyone to learn and have all the resources. So I'd love to just know more about you and how you got started doing this.
Again, thanks for having me on. I've followed you guys for so long. I think you started off like on Twitter. Like, I think my roommate found you when you had like 50 followers. She was so excited. And that was like 10 years ago. Not to like date myself, but yeah, 10 years ago. I, like you mentioned, like D1 athlete, played soccer. I spent all my time when I was, you know, trying to get to the college level, doing everything I could on the field. And I really neglected a lot of the stuff that was happening off the field, because we just didn't really talk about it. You know, 10 to 15 years ago, we didn't talk about the recovery piece. We didn't talk about nutrition. And I was so focused on trying to be the best player I could be, but I was neglecting a lot of the things that I needed to help, you know, elevate my game and take me to the next level. That being said, like, oh, you're like, oh, you know, I got to play D1 soccer. That's amazing. But I don't feel like I ever reached my true potential, because we kind of all have our own potential. This is something I talk a lot about with athletes who are like, my friend eats, you know, Flaming Hot Cheetos before I go onto the field, and they're faster than me. It's like, well, everybody has their own like cap, right? Everybody has their own capacity and their own, you know, potential. And I just feel like I never, you know, reached my own potential. Senior year of college, I tore my ACL first game of senior year. I thought I'd gotten away with it. I thought I was going to be clear through my career without tearing it. But through that rehab process, I really realized the importance of nutrition. During that process, I remember, you know, seeing a lot of my teammates, a lot of my friends who had, you know, torn their ACLs, who had long-term injuries, and they lost a lot of weight. And I remember like thinking, that's something that I want to do. Like that means that they're taking their nutrition seriously. But what I realized actually was me limiting my nutrition, me trying to lose weight, all these things was the wrong approach. And it really helped me back. And I started to really understand the importance of nutrition kind of through that process. So I kind of dove into training to become a dietitian. And then I realized everything I had been doing throughout my entire career when it came to nutrition was kind of the wrong thing.
So do you think that nutrition was one of the big reasons why, like what led to your injury too?
I think there's so many, you know, there's so many different things. We can't pinpoint one thing, but I definitely know if I had been taking my recovery nutrition more seriously, if I had been, you know, not relying on energy drinks or skipping meals or things like that, my energy would have been better. My decision making would have been faster, things like that. So I definitely think it did play a big role in that injury.
Yeah, I tore my ACL after college, but I think it was the same thing. Like it wasn't the only reason why, but it definitely had to do with it. And it's so, it was interesting when you said like, oh, well, the like, people lost weight when they were injured because they were focusing on, because I felt like I was, even after school, I was like, oh yeah, everyone was always losing weight when they like would tear something. And it's not a good thing. Like I lost so much of my muscle mass at that point, and it was because I wasn't doing the correct things for my body, even during the injury, you know, during the recovery process, rehab process. So that is such a true point. I would love to know, did you have a positive relationship with food as soon as you started to look into that? Like, was that a journey in itself, or like, was that something that took time even after your injury?
So we always kind of say that you either become a dietitian because you love food or you fear food. So you start to learn about it. So you're either, because you love it, you want to, you know, feel like, I guess, figure out how to do both.
Can you have both?
Yes, exactly. So I think what happens a lot of the time is like, and I think this is what happened with me, and maybe it was like subconsciously, like I didn't even realize it, but I loved food. I wanted to originally go to medical school, but there was a nutrition major. You got to eat during class. That's sick. That's so cool. So I loved that. But then I also, as I started going through that education, I started to figure out like, maybe I can manipulate this because I'm scared of it, right? So if I'm scared of it, I can figure out how to manipulate it, how to control it, so I can use it to my advantage. So I would say, once I started to learn more about it, I definitely used it in maybe a negative way, especially during that retired athlete phase. So the first couple of years being a retired athlete, you know, having that season ending injury, there was a lots of like ups and downs when it comes to nutrition. There was like some good, you know, peaks where it's like, hey, I need to do this for my body. And then it's like, hey, I can maybe manipulate this in a not so healthy way as well.
I feel like also just to bring it back to what we were talking about before, I feel like there's an association between like being skinny and fit. And what made you, did you ever feel that way also? Because I just absolutely did. I just assumed that the lighter you were, the faster you were, and the more you could run further. And did you ever have that like kind of preconceived notion in college? Do you feel like that's a common thing that you hear from today? Like a lot of people want to get fit and they assume that losing weight is going to be part of that process. And how did you like kind of redefine what being fit was and what being fit looked like? Because I feel like there's a big assumption of what being fit looks like.
With every sport, like, and soccer is not anything different, just working with a variety of different female athletes and even male athletes, there's always this like look that, you know, these athletes are told that they have to achieve, right? This like look that means you're fit, but we haven't really like defined it. I feel like all coaches, all athletes have their own interpretation of this fit. And this was something that I really struggled with because especially through my recruiting process, I was told like, you're not going to get interest from this school because you're a big girl, or like this doesn't suit your style of play because you're a bigger girl and you're in like a bigger body. And as a 16, 17 year old girl who's going through puberty, like that's like not something that maybe you necessarily want to hear. So there was always a strive, like, or a goal for me to be like, if I want to go to this school, that means I need to be in a smaller body because they wouldn't accept me as who I am. And this would be compared to maybe my teammates, compared to other people that maybe go to that school. So there was always this pressure for me to be smaller. One of the big things, we just talked about, like, did my nutrition maybe play a role in my injury, is like skipping post-workout fueling. Like every time we went to weights, I would never take a protein shake and never take the chocolate milk because I was afraid to get bigger to put on muscle, which doesn't make any sense. Like that's why I went to the weight training, was to put on muscle. And then I was scared to give my body the fuel to put on that muscle. So there's definitely, I definitely felt that pressure. And I think as I got older, the definition of fit just really changed. Especially now, right? I had a baby a couple weeks ago. So like working out and things like that look very different. And my version of being fit is very different than it was when I was 22.
Well, congrats. That's so exciting. And yeah, it is. It's crazy how, like, depending on what chapter and what you're doing, what fit looks like to you can be different. And I totally see your point when you were saying how, like, when you were younger, if you had to be in a smaller body. I feel like for me, it was like, okay, you are the big person. So if you ever do get, you know, smaller in any way, then you're not going to be playing your role. Like, I remember our trainer at one point, I had still been the same weight, but maybe I lost a little bit of fat. And he was just like, she's just, you know, she's getting too small for her role. And it was like, first of all, I'm doing a ton off the field, like doing weights, doing what I can food, you know, nutrition wise, but because the number on the scale, like it's just crazy that like, I feel like it's so dated that like, things like that, but like, we're not that old. Maybe I'm aging us, but I don't know. I think that's still happening in some areas. And even like, we've got so many questions from players now who it seems like things like that still affect players today. And you make it sound so simple. Like, yeah, we're in the weight room. We have to like have a protein shake or something because you want to build muscle, but it's, I feel like in our head sometimes we change it. I don't know. I don't know if you feel that way, Alana, at all, but I feel like it's something that is still happening. And Alana works with a lot of young athletes, so I'm sure she knows firsthand too, like the preconceived notions that athletes have with certain things.
Yeah, it's so interesting because like, I think if you only listen to one thing, like, right, so I'm like, all right, I want to look fit. I want to be more cut, let's say. Like, maybe that's the number one thing I'm hearing in my head. But I have to also like lay out on the table like all the other things that I want. I want to be strong on the ball. I don't want to get injured. You know, I want to be able to play at this competitive level. And like, if those, all those things that I want, if there's one that's conflicting with all the rest, like maybe me just being skinny and wanting to look like whatever fitness model I see on Instagram or whatever player I idolize, if that goal conflicts with all of the other ones, you kind of have to take a look at the bigger picture, because sometimes the one voice that you hear the loudest in your head is the one you listen to. And then you're like, oh yeah, but when I do get skinnier, I'm way more likely to get injured. I'm not going to be as strong on the ball. I can't compete against girls that are stronger than me. So it's like, you know, you have to kind of weigh the pros and cons, because there's nothing wrong with thinking and feeling those things too, because like we all think them. We all see, you know, bodies online and that we're like, oh my God, I wish I looked like that. Like, that is a normal thought to have, and it's not wrong to think that. But if that's the only thing you're thinking, you got to broaden your, you know, scope of your goals and just kind of take a look at the bigger picture, I think.
Exactly what you just said. Like, I think sometimes people feel guilty that they have those feelings, but those feelings are completely valid. And even individuals like ourselves who, you know, help mentor these individuals, or when I work with athletes, like we still see the same messages, right? Like, we still have the same pressures, even though we're, you know, helping individuals kind of overcome these barriers. But we just kind of understand the pressures now, if that makes sense.
And I think you do such a wonderful job of giving digestible bits of information and knowledge about nutrition without like overhauling someone's entire beliefs and, you know, what they want and their goals. So we, you know, we put a question box on Instagram yesterday to ask like all of our followers if they had any specific questions for you. And we got hundreds of questions. So we would love to go through a couple of them with you, just so we could hear your advice and maybe hear the why too, right? Because like, I'm also like, someone can tell me, all right, you should be doing X, Y, and Z. And then I'm like, all right, why? Like, make me believe it, because I don't, like, I won't just buy into it. So, and would that be okay to go through some of those questions?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Obviously, and probably one of the most common ones that you hear is the best pregame and postgame snacks, foods. I think people have a ton of just indecision and like deer in the headlights when it comes to the things that they should be putting in their body before they play and after they play. So we'd love to hear some of your input on that.
And just to jump off that, Alana, it seems like timing of that was also a big question, like when you should be eating, like how close to before and after training, and if games end training if there's a difference in what you should be having. So loaded yeah. question, but it seems like a lot of people have very.
I'll start with practice because I think like we have to have practice our fueling, just like we practice our touch so that when we go to games, we're confident, we know what to do. So practice, I usually say we want to have a meal about 2 to 3 hours before practice. If practice is after 10 a.m., that's kind of like my guideline recommendation. If practice is at 7 a.m., like you're not waking up at 4 or 5 to eat breakfast. But usually if practice is after 10 a.m., I recommend having a meal 2 to 3 hours before that practice. This is where I think a lot of people get shocked when we talk about pre-practice or pre-game fueling, because a lot of the time people are looking for things that help them feel energized, but then they also feel light on the field. We all have been on the field. We want to feel light. We want to feel powerful. We want to feel fast. So a lot of athletes will often go towards things that they think are going to make them feel light, like a salad. But with pre-practice and pre-game fueling, we really want to focus on easy to digest foods because that is actually going to make us feel energized and light. Salad, unfortunately, it takes a little bit longer to digest. Foods that are higher in fiber, high in fat, take longer to digest, right? High fiber foods are often like vegetables, think like broccoli, cauliflower, things like that. Whole grains sometimes also contain a good amount of fiber. And then fat is going to be like our dressings, anything that's fried, avocado, things like that. Those are going to take longer to digest. They're not bad for us anyways, but they're going to, again, take longer to digest. We don't want to be digesting our food when we're on the field. So for pre-practice, a meal that is rich in simple to digest carbohydrates, things like white rice, oatmeal, sourdough bread is something that's really popular among soccer players, cereal even, like a white pasta, things like that are going to be really easy to digest. We want to focus on those 2 to 3 hours before. I usually say make 1/3 of your plate before practice, those simple to digest carbohydrates, 1/3 of your plate, a lower fat protein like a chicken breast, turkey, Greek yogurt, and then a low fiber, maybe fruit or vegetable like carrots, grapes, watermelon, things like that. And then about 30 to 60 minutes before, I like to say have a fueling top off. So something that's a simple carbohydrate, like fruit snacks, a piece of fruit, a granola bar, pretzels. Those are great to kind of just top off our energy stores before going into a practice. Similar for a game day, where we want to have a meal and we want to have a fueling top off. Usually our timing is just a little bit different because the exercise intensity of a game and maybe our meal is going to be a little bit bigger. So we want to give ourselves some time to digest. So with pregame meal, I recommend having a meal about 2 to 4 hours before. Usually for our high school, maybe our middle school athletes, we can do that 2 hours before. But for most of our college athletes, our pro athletes, we're going to be looking at 4 hours before for that digestion. And again, a similar composition there.
So I have a question just to, before we get into post-game stuff, a lot of people give the like, oh, I feel too anxious to eat before games or eating before it makes me feel sick or anything like that. What would you suggest? I mean, 4 hours before is a lot more time before than I would have thought. And I'm guessing a lot more time before, right? Let's say girls that get out of school and have to get right on the bus to go to a game, you know, and have maybe the 2 hours. So what would you say to those girls that have that like fine line between feeling sick because they're eating before they play?
Again, totally valid. A lot of people, you know, struggle with this. This two main things. So liquid is going to digest faster than a solid food. So if you're somebody that really struggles with eating before, trying to at least get a smoothie in, get some type of liquid in is going to be helpful because that's going to digest faster. So you won't get as much GI upset. Another thing, or the second thing that I recommend is if you're not practicing eating before practice, then you're not going to be able to digest and be ready for a game, especially in a high pressure situation. So many people are like, I can't eat before an 8 a.m. game. Then it's like, okay, well, we look at what you're doing throughout the week. you're not eating breakfast like at all. So why would you expect your body to be able to handle and digest that, you know, fueling load before a game? So I would recommend, again, practicing during the week in preparation for your games.
That is a great point, because I do feel like the people that have a hard time eating before practice are a lot of the times breakfast skippers. Yeah. And there have been like so many studies, just to back her up, so many studies where they have like had athletes eat before a lift, and literally the number of repetitions they can do in each set increases by having food. So it's like your body is able to perform with the fuel that it has. And if you give it none, it will not be performing anywhere near its cap. So there is no doubt that you are going to perform better with proper nutrition than not. So finding a way to overcome that sickness feeling or that anxious feeling that keeps you from eating before games is something so necessary to learn if you want to play at an elite level, for sure.
Especially female athletes. Like, just like you mentioned, there's so much research that supports female athletes being in a better, just having better performance outcomes being fed than fasted.
I have a question. You mentioned like granola bars and cereal and different things. And a lot of that I know could just be like similar to like candy. Like, it depends on the ingredients. Are you really focused on the ingredients of that? Or is it like, I'd rather you eat something than nothing type of thing?
I think it really depends. For somebody that isn't eating breakfast, like, let's eat whatever you can stomach and manage. Depending on what your preference is, depending on how your body reacts, things like that, we can modify different nutrients, you know, focus on maybe some higher quality products. But especially in the beginning, especially with these like teenage athletes, club athletes, like, get some fruit snacks in, get a simple granola bar and get
fruit snacks. So I was happy you said that.
Yep. I mean, I know college teams that put Gushers in the locker room, Swedish Fish. I mean, it's all similar composition. It really just depends on the athlete's preference.
There's so many resources out there too now, like on social media. How should athletes know what they should be using as a credible source and what's just like another influencer telling you their opinion?
This is like the $1 million question. There's a lot on the internet. Yes. And I think it's really hard too, because nutrition is so individualized. So an athlete's needs are going to be very different than their siblings' needs or their parents' needs, right? An athlete is going to need more carbohydrates. They're going to be needing to have these fruit snacks. Maybe other populations aren't going to be focused on that. So when kind of navigating all the information, make sure that it is applicable to you and your, I guess, population. So if you're 14-year-old soccer player, you shouldn't be following nutrition. Maybe that's for a 50-year-old active man, right? Like, it's very different. Another thing to look for is like a dietitian, somebody like that has the RD credential or a CSSD. That means they're specialized in sports dietetics. So that also can provide some credible resources as well.
One more. Well, we have a bunch more questions, but one more very difficult question that I feel like is the $1 million question. Someone asked, as a coach, how do I help girls eat better without triggering eating disorders? It feels like a tightrope walk. And we were talked to in a variety of voices throughout our, you know, playing careers, ones that were very blunt and we were weighed and told right to our faces if we were fat or not. Like, there were a lot of, we had nutritionists come in and tell us all sorts of advice, and it triggered a ton of eating disorder. It's just so prominent, especially in college sports where people care about performance so much more. So how do you talk as a coach? How do you talk to girls without saying anything that is triggering?
Great question. I like to always focus on the positives. So a positive nutrition approach, something that's food forward. So instead of focusing on taking things away or the negative aspects of food, we really focus on what we can add in to help with performance, but then also health. Even if it's somebody who might need more vegetables, right? We're focusing on adding more fruits and vegetables to the plate. We're adding more micronutrients, we're adding more vitamins and minerals into that athlete's fueling plan. An easy example of this is if you have an athlete that has two pieces of pizza on their plate. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not necessarily a balanced plate because we don't really have that many vitamins and minerals in it. So instead of telling an athlete, you'll only eat one piece of pizza, have that athlete put salad on their plate. And because you've added the salad, then when they go to get the pizza, they'll only put one piece of pizza on their plate because now the plate is full. And so we've added something into that athlete's fueling plan in a positive way. So we're focusing on what we can add in, not necessarily what we can take away.
All right, I do like that. And what is the approach if an athlete is truthfully a very unhealthy eater? How do you go about discussing that?
This is also a tricky, again, it's a million-dollar question because you want to make sure that you're being positive. I really like starting off with like pre and post nutrition. We always get a ton of questions on that. And I think that's a really easy way to start with that positive approach and get them to kind of buy in, because that's something that you can easily see return on your investment, right? If you start eating properly before and after training, you're going to see not like instant effects. It doesn't work like that, but you're going to see very quickly results. And then you can kind of get them to buy in. And if you are concerned about their eating patterns, maybe worried about disordered eating or an eating disorder, you can always refer out or connect with like a professional, like a dietitian, a therapist, because they're, I guess, trained or equipped to kind of navigate these issues.
And we did, I know we did talk about pre-training and pre-game. Can you go into post-training and post like game, what the best way to refuel yourself is?
Yep. So afterwards, we want to obviously refuel, right? We just expended a ton of energy. We just utilized a lot of fluid. So we want to make sure that we're rehydrating, we're refueling, and that we're promoting recovery within the working muscles, right? So really want to focus on hydration. That's probably my number one recommendation. A lot of people are so quick to focus on protein, 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 but we have to rehydrate first. So rehydration is first. Then we look at carbohydrates and we look at protein. So an easy recommendation is 3-to-1 carbs to protein. So most athletes are going to benefit from about 20 grams of protein after practice or a game. It's usually about the size of your palm or the size of like a computer mouse. And then from there, right, we look at 3 times that for carbohydrates. So if somebody is eating about 20 grams of protein, that's about 60 grams of carbohydrates. Worst case scenario, right, a banana is 30 grams of carbs. You have a protein shake and you have 2 bananas. That's an easy 3-to-1 ratio of carbs to protein.
People are also asking, like, what do they do with tournaments when they're eating in between games?
Yes. I would probably focus on a 4-to-1 ratio of carbs to protein because your post-game meal is acting as your pre-game meal for your next event. And with that situation, I recommend packing a variety of different snacks. Again, focusing on that liquid energy because that's going to digest faster. And just having a variety of snacks available that you can easily grab between games, because especially if we're like a knockout or some type of advancement tournament, you might not know when your next game is, but if you have options and you have different things that you can grab, depending on what time your next game is, then it's going to set you up for success.
What are your favorite snacks? Easy snacks.
Honestly, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Mm-hmm. Great option. That's actually personally something that I ate before I played because I had a lot of nerves and it was easy on my stomach. I really struggled with eating hot food before a game. So I loved a PB&J. Smoothies, great option. Pretzels, dried fruit, grapes, a variety of different fruit are great options that you can easily throw in your bag or in a lunchbox.
We seem to have a lot of concern too about age. Like a lot of questions were like, oh, what do I eat as an 11-year-old versus what do I eat as a 15-year-old? And then what type of foods should I incorporate in if I'm on my period or not on my period? So do you think there's a big difference between fueling at different ages? And then especially in terms of your cycle, how should we fuel differently?
So athletes on the national team in the NWSL in college, in high school, a lot of them are eating the same things. Like a lot of them are eating PB&Js. A lot of them are eating fruit snacks. Again, as you get to a higher level, it becomes more individualized. But especially if you're somebody that's new to nutrition, the basics really do work. So, right, an 11-year-old, you know, really focusing on that pre and post, just like we would at the NCAA level, that's important. With the cycle, there's a lot of discussion on that right now. And the research right now is still kind of like not necessarily defined, but I think, I guess personally, I can tell you that the cycle affects me working with lots of different female athletes, that cycle affects them. But it is on a very individualized basis. So what I do with my athletes is we will track their symptoms and their cycle for a minimum of 3 months. And then from that trend data, we will modify their nutrition from that. And there's very clear trends, right? Like, you know, the week before your period, we'll start to see fatigue, we'll start to see increased body temperature, things like that. And then we can customize nutrition based off of those symptoms.
And I think this is one of the other ones that a lot of people were asking about, was for hydration. Are you a big water person, fruit, like Gatorade, Body Armor, electrolytes? A lot of people are into salt now. What do you think the best way of hydrating is?
So water is definitely right, king. But when you are a busy athlete, you need some sports drink options. That's, I think, the simple answer. There is a lot of sports drinks out there on the market. And I think navigating the sports drink and the sports drink product space is really confusing, because there's all these new things that are coming out. And there's drinks that are more like lifestyle drinks that are marketed as a sports drink. So if you want, I can kind of share like what I look for in a sports drink. So I think anytime looking at a sports drink product, there's three things that I'm looking for, right? The first one is fluid, right? That's easy. Most sports products are going to have that, or there'll be a powder where you can, you know, add it to a fluid. So that's the main thing, right? We have to rehydrate. We have to replenish the fluid that we just lost. The second component is carbohydrate. So with carbohydrates, they have multiple purposes within a sports drink. The first purpose is to replenish our energy stores that we're utilizing during training. At high intensity work, we are mainly burning carbohydrate. At about 80% of our heart rate max, we exclusively burn carbohydrate. If you ever look at a heart rate monitor, or if you're somebody who's tracking that, that's a lot of the time that you're on the soccer field. So looking for carbohydrate to help with energy replenishment. Carbohydrate is also going to help you absorb your electrolytes faster. So when we look at electrolytes, which is the third component, the main electrolyte that we're looking for is sodium. So that's the main electrolyte that you lose when you sweat. 95% of the electrolytes in your sweat are going to be sodium. So that's the main thing that we want to replenish. With that, right, the carbohydrates are going to help you absorb the sodium faster. So when we're looking for a sports drink to help you rehydrate, we're looking for fluid, carbohydrate, and sodium. If a sports drink, like maybe a Prime, which is really, really popular right now, that doesn't have a lot of those components, but it does provide fluid, so it's going to help you from that aspect. But a product that's going to contain sodium and carbohydrate is going to help rehydrate you.
What's your favorite?
I really like powder products. So I like Liquid IV or Drip Drop. I think those are more effective for rehydration. Gatorade is also really popular. And I think it is a great option just because it's widely available. It's more carbohydrate rich than sodium. So I would say it's more of a great option to get your carbohydrates in after training or before training, and does provide a little bit of sodium, but it's mainly more of a carbohydrate drink.
And it's delicious, which helps. Alana, anything else you want to ask before we close out?
We did get a few questions. Which I love hearing this question. How do I gain muscle mass if I'm someone who loses weight simply by existing? So we do have, there is the string bean gang. I was one of them back in the day, you know, where you just would try and couldn't seem to gain any muscle mass. I've learned now in hindsight that I was just doing nutrition all wrong and I probably could have gained some weight. But for those type of players that are, you know, maybe getting a little bit shoved around on the field and really want to improve their strength and their size, what would be your advice for them?
I guess two things. They're going to really have to focus on their nutrition, right? Like eating continuously throughout the day. That's something that's really important. When we talk about muscle building, there's such a focus on like post-workout protein, which is amazing. We need that. But if you're not eating continuously throughout the day, if you're skipping meals, if you're not eating breakfast, then it's going to be hard for your body to be in a positive energy balance to build muscle. That being said, one of the biggest, I guess, in my second point, one of the biggest mistakes I see athletes make is they're not eating enough carbohydrates, and that's why they're not putting on muscle, because they're so focused on protein, which you need to build muscle. They're not providing their body with enough energy to actually build that muscle. So if you are, you know, eating 150 to 200 grams of protein, but you're only eating, you know, 150 grams of carbohydrates, you're not necessarily going to be optimized to build muscle.
That is great. Yes. I feel like carbs have gotten a bad rap. And for athletes, it's just the exact opposite case. I'm also curious. So for all of this advice that you've given throughout this whole podcast, how long should athletes try these new things before actually stepping back and wondering if they're working for them? Because I do feel like everyone wants to see the results or to feel better or to feel more energized like in a week. And realistically, that's just, that isn't how it works. So what is the timeline that people should really try and stick to a new plan or a new adjustment in their fueling?
Yeah. So with pre and post, I think if you're not eating before training, if you're not eating after training, you are going to see like an increase in energy, like almost immediately, if you start doing your pre and your post the right way. That being said, though, that's only one small piece of the puzzle. So when we work with athletes, we usually recommend a minimum of 3 to 4 months because this stuff does take time. I wish it was quicker. I'd be a millionaire if I could do it in, you know, 2 days, but it does take a lot of time, especially because even like with cycle tracking, right? Like if we have to track your symptoms and things like that, we have to do that for a minimum of 3 months. So it does take a little bit of time, but it's just like practice, right? Like you don't just learn how to do, you know, a free kick, or you don't learn how to do these types of skills like immediately. It takes time. It takes repetition. You got to do it on a daily basis to see the results that you want.
Love it. Very true. It does take patience. We appreciate you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing all your wisdom. Can you tell our followers where else they can follow you? And guys, I strongly recommend that you follow her. You put out some of the most easily digestible and understandable bits of information in very consumable ways. You know, I get very overwhelmed when someone presents me with too much information. You do such a good job of presenting it simply. So where can people follow you to get some of your little nuggets of wisdom?
Well, thank you. I'm on Instagram and I'm on TikTok. Riley, which is Reilly.Beatty.Nutrition is my handle for both of those. We also have a website where we have a blog and things like that, RileyBeatty.com. And we also have a podcast called Eat More Carbs as well.
Love it. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Riley. We'll keep in touch. We really appreciate all your time.
Yeah. Thank you both.
Take care.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Bye.